church, would you just pray? Father, we can feel your presence heavy in this room this morning. We can feel your spirit softening our hearts. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for giving up these godly rights that you own to humble yourself and come down to this earth to die a sacrifice for us, for me. A price I could never fully understand. God, I thank you for your love. I just pray that you anoint us today. A fresh outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you so much, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. You guys can take your seats. Kids, you can head off to Club 56. If you are in 5th and 6th grade, you can head off to Club 56. Let's give our hand for our worship team, amen? Didn't they do amazing? God is so good and is working through them. Welcome, welcome, welcome to New Life. Pastor Dane is not here today, and so I shaved my head just to kind of give you guys the Pastor Dane feel so you guys can understand, feel a little bit more at home. But my name is Ethan. I am the youth pastor here. And I just am so excited to be able to give you a word today. This is our 6th week in our Philippians series. How many have enjoyed the Philippians series so far? Hasn't that been so powerful? Man, God has been moving through that series. It's been so good. Last week, Pastor Dane gave us a really powerful word, a really powerful message about the first half of Philippians chapter 3, which is, it's not about what you can offer. It's not about what you can bring to the table. But it's through God's mercy and His grace through faith that we are saved. And that is just, that'll preach in itself. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm super excited for today. I get the privilege and the honor to close out chapter 3. And so I have titled my sermon, In Christ, Who Has Your Heart? In Christ, Who Has Your Heart? Who here is like goal orientated, right? They make goals, they make plans to reach the goals, they work. Dude, none of you? No, here we go, some. Guys, I'm going to pray for you if you ain't got goals in your life, man. You're directionless? That's crazy. That's crazy. You're just flying by the seat of your pants. You're like, who cares? I'll wake up in the morning, I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on. We'll see what happens. It's natural for us as humans to make goals, right? Because we need stuff that we can work towards, stuff that we can strive towards, something that we can look forward to, right? Right? You guys all looking forward to something. I know half of you guys in here are looking forward to lunch. I know. But we need things to look forward to, and our goals are determined by things that we love. The things that we desire, right? Maybe your goal is, we got college students here, maybe your goal is furthering your education because you have a dream job that you want to go into. Or some of us, I hear, are like, well, I just start college and I don't really know what I want to go into yet. But your goal is hopefully to pique interest of a future career, right? Or else you're just going to spend money. That's what people go to college for, with no interest of a career. Maybe your goal is like losing weight because there's like an ideal body size or style or whatever, or strength that you want to get to. So you hit the gym, you know, you're eating the right protein amount, stuff like that. Guys, my goal is to deadlift 600 pounds. I'm working towards it. I'm working towards it. I'm nowhere close. That's my goal, right? Maybe your goal is like a future expense or a future experience that you're looking forward to. So you're saving money. You're planning, and you're getting excited. But no matter what, our goals are determined on our heart's desires. Today, I believe Scripture is not only going to show us what our ultimate goal should be as Christians, but
who we worship and what we worship can change the trajectory of our. And so I'm really excited. We're going to get into my first point today is, what is your goal? Everybody say, what is your goal? What is your goal? Philippians 10 through 16 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. We just sang this, in Christ alone, right? I am God's, Christ is mine. You know, he has made us his own, right? I press on because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now I want to focus on two things in this passage. Two things. The first one is forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the past. And the second thing is the waiting on the call. So that first thing, forgetting what lies in the past, we see this in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, I don't know about you, but I was reading this and my first thought was, man, I've heard Paul say this somewhere else in a similar fashion. May not be the exact words, but it's the same idea. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's our year verse for here at New Life. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. See? The old has passed away. It is in the past. The new has come. All right? Now, when we talk about the old being passed away, forgetting what lies in the past, a lot of us think, you know what? This is maybe my sinful habits that are in the past. I'm leaving this behind. I'm coming to Christ. I'm leaving the sinful habits in the past. Maybe I'm leaving my past mistakes. Maybe I'm leaving behind my past hurt, my past anxieties, my past depression, my past addictions, whatever it may be. All the bad we're leaving back here in the past. And you know what? This is all true. When we come to Christ, we leave these things behind. But you know what else we leave behind as well? The good that we think that we may offer. The good that we think in our lives that we can bring to the table. We leave that in the past as well. You see, Paul wrote this, and mind you, Paul was a Pharisee. He was a zealot. He knew the Torah from front to back. He walked in the law of Moses. He's what you call the poster child for the Jewish belief. Now, we read these things and we're like, Pharisee's not a great thing. Zealot's not a great thing, right? They're killing people for their beliefs. Like, that's kind of crazy. But you know what was good about Paul? He memorized the entire Old Testament. He memorized that. Memorizing scripture is a good thing. Memorizing scripture, that's why we have memory verses. It's a good thing. He walked in the law of Moses. He followed the Ten Commandments. He knew that he was a sinner, and he knew when he messed up, and so he would go and get repentance for his sins. These are all good things. But Paul says, yes, I am leaving this in the past. Good, bad, and ugly. It's all gone. Because I'm forgetting the old me, because I am a new creation in Christ. That means When he tells us to leave things in the past, you're forgetting, yes, your bad things, but you're also forgetting the good. We are this block of clay, and God, he is the potter, right? He's going to take us, and he's going to knead out all the air pockets and the imperfections, and he's going to stretch, and he's going to pull us, and he's going to shape us, and he's going to carefully, meticulously carve away at us until there are things of him. He's getting rid of all of us, all the old, the bad, the ugly, and he's going to make us into a perfectly sanctified, perfectly unified, beautiful creation masterpiece that he sees us as. This is what he does. I'm warning you, do not bring any of the good forward, because if we feel like we can bring something to the table, it only causes pride in our life. Do you see this? Like, oh, you know what, God? Yeah, you can provide this, this, and this, and you make me into this, but I bring in this to the table, so I have some leverage here to make decisions. I have some leverage here to feel like I know what's right, and it builds up pride in our life. And you want it? I'll tell you one thing. There are two sins in the Bible that it says the Lord will deal with harshly: sexual immorality and the pride of the flesh. You have pride, which we all struggle with. If you have pride, the Lord deals with it harshly. We cannot bring anything to the table that can cause us to stumble into that pride. We must forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead is the call of God. The second portion that I want to focus on is waiting on the call. Waiting on the call of God. Verse 14 says, I press on towards the goal. I press on towards the goal of an upward call from God in Christ Jesus. Church, can I tell you something right now? Time is running out. Time is running out. Soon these trumpets are going to sound. Soon the sky is going to open up, and Christ is going to come back to this earth for his people, and he's not coming like he did before as a baby in a manger. But Christ is coming back as a full-blown warrior with an army behind him, coming to fight and to win this battle that we are dealing with. Time is running out, church. Will you stop living like your old self? If you are new in Christ, act like it. Live like it. Stop bringing the old back into the new. He has made you a new creation. This is closer than you think. Leave what lies in the past back there. Time's running out. What is your goal? What is your goal? Is it to live for Christ? Or is it to just merely get into heaven? Is your goal to share the good news or to receive the gifts that God offers you? You see, it's really easy to figure out what our goal is by who you worship. Our goals are determined by who holds our heart. My second point is who do you worship? Philippians 3:17 through 21 says, brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He's talking about imitating those who imitate Christ. Those who are living as Christ lived. Those who are loving as Christ loved. And he's putting an emphasis on this because in the next two verses we read, Paul addresses the people called the Judaizers. They're a group of people in the Christian church who put an extreme emphasis on religious practices for the Gentiles who were converting to Christianity. They would put an emphasis on these religious practices rather than having a religious or a relationship with Christ, living as Christ lived, loving as Christ loved. They would say, you know what, to come to Christ, you need to eat these certain foods. To come to Christ, you need to be circumcised. To come to Christ, you need to worship this way. You need to pray this way. You have to do this, 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 and that. What does Pastor Dane say? Be wary. Last week he said, be wary of those who say, Jesus, but. Jesus, but. He's addressing these people that are putting a religious practice as God in their life. They were so focused on it. So in verse 18, he says, for many of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even with tears, it's bringing him to tears. It's breaking his heart because Paul's history was he was a Pharisee. He was a zealot. He put the emphasis on the religious practices, and he saw the effect that this had on people. He saw the unrealistic expectations that they held to break people down, destroy spirits. It would bring a false image of who Christ was. He saw this, and so he says, even with tears, there are these people, I warn you of, that walk as enemies to the cross of Christ. Their end is their destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things. Your religious practice is an earthly thing. You're focused too much on what to do rather than who God is. So many times I see us as Christians, we get caught up in this trap of who we are worshiping. Are you worshiping the gifts that God gives you or who God is? Do you value the gifts over the gift giver? Israel has fallen into this, and we see him fall into this in Exodus 3, where God is preparing the Israelite people to be set free from slavery. They were in slavery in Egypt for years, tormented, treated poorly, horrible, horrible, horrible things. They were in for years, and he's setting them free. And because God cares for his people, he doesn't want them to go empty-handed into the wilderness, but he wants to provide for them. And so in Exodus 3, 21 through 22, we read, and I, being God, I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and you shall plunder the Egyptians. God gave Israelite favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and he blessed them. He provided for them, and he blessed them with generational wealth. Do you see that? What were the gold in the clothing for? Not for just the women, but for their sons, for their daughters, and for a continuation. God wanted to bless them generationally. Right? And then they go out into the wilderness, and they see a mountain, and on top of the mountain is this physical manifestation of God's presence in clouds and light and thunder in the top of this mountain. And the Israelite people are afraid. They know it's God. They said, we can't go up there. Moses, go up there for us, bro. And so Moses goes up there, and Moses is interceding for the Israelite people. He's receiving the Ten Commandments on how to live as God calls us to live, right? And they're doing this amazing thing. And look at what happens in verse 32. Verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 1 says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. First of all, delayed. It sounds like they're waiting on their own time rather than what God is doing in their lives. Delayed from coming down. The people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, like he hadn't been gone that long, guys. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wife, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Israel, the Israelite people, they cared way more for the gold that God had provided for them than the God that provides. They cared way more for the gifts than the gift giver. And they worshiped what God had given them rather than worshiping God. I'm going to invite the worship team up. You want to know the sad part about this story? It's not the Israelites. It's not their falling in this. But it's to this day I see Christians fall into the same trap. The same trap of they worshiping the gifts over the gift giver. And it gets so bad that we begin to try to barter and trade with God. He says, we go, you know what? Hey, God, man, I'm really struggling right now. I need a car. If you could just provide a car for me, then I'll come to church more. It could be like, you know what, God, man, I'm feeling real lonely. If you could just provide a good girlfriend or a good boyfriend for me, then you know what? I'll stop going out partying, living a ratchet lifestyle, and sleeping around. We could say things like, you know what, God, if you would just heal this sickness that I have in my body or break this addiction that I've been struggling with, you know what, then I'll start reading my Bible more, man, and I'll start praying more, and I'll do all these things. If you could just do this for me first. We have fallen into worshiping the gift over the gift giver. Are you more focused on what God can do for you in your life? Or are you focused on who God is in your life? God is not this genie service that you can rub a lamp and he's here to grant your wishes. But he's a good father. He's a loving father, a father who has a desire to be in a relationship with you, a good father that provides for his children. But get this, he provides for his children, but he doesn't spoil them. He doesn't spoil them. He's in control of all things. And he has a perfect and good plan for his children if they are willing to have a relationship with him. More than what he can offer. Do you want a relationship with him? Or do you just want what he offers? For those who are in Christ and we walk with him and we know that our time here on this earth is short. The grain of sand compared to the Sahara Desert, it says. The time here on this earth is short. And so we know that even if he doesn't on this earth, even if he doesn't give me a car, even if he doesn't give me a spouse, even if he doesn't break this sickness, even if he doesn't call this person who would hurt me to him, even if he doesn't, we know that he will make all things perfect in heaven. Even if he doesn't on this earth, he makes all things perfect in heaven. Philippians 3, 20 through 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, our sickly bodies, our sinful bodies, our addiction-chained bodies, our anxiety-filled bodies, our depression-filled bodies, our hatred-filled bodies, all of these, He will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Church, this is not a feel-good sermon. It's a call. It's a call to action. Have you been misguided? Is your heart more focused on what God can do for you rather than who God is in your life? Are you more focused on the gift? Today, it's a time for a reset. Today, it's a time for a refocus. Today, will you allow God to make you new, and will you take your past and leave it? Leave it in the past. Good, bad, and ugly. God is calling for a reset. Time is running out. We don't have time to play these games of living a sinful lifestyle and then, you know, at the end of my life, I'm just going to pray and God's going to forgive me and all hands clean and I'll be up in heaven. Guys, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Will you live like today is your last? Let's pray. Father, this message is so heavy on my heart. Because of the church, I don't want them to fall. And I know you have a plan. Lord, forgive us. Because your mercies are new every morning. We can't use that as an excuse. Forgive us. Remove the idols that we have on our hearts and take your rightful place as lordship over our life. Lord, we thank you. Father, give us strength. Give us wisdom. We give you glory and honor today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You guys stand with me. We're going to close with